Praise the Lord, everybody. I pray that you are blessed in your home and God is doing wonderful things in our lives. And we are just excited to just be a part of the broadcast today. Thank you, Pastor, for introducing me. We've had such a great relationship. And I'll tell you what, it is a blessing to be a part of Destiny Church. And I know that's your heart as well. God is going to do a great thing. And you know, today I just want to take a few moments and I want to share what the word of the Lord is that he put in my heart today. And I've titled this, Pull Up a Chair. And that is our prayer today. We want you to pull up a chair to the King's table. No matter where you're at in life, I believe that God can use you. It's what we've been learning over the last several weeks. We've been learning that God has called us to be an overcoming. We've been in this series of being an overcomer. It's been reminding us that we are more than what we go through. We are more than a conqueror. Somebody say amen in your home. We are more than a conqueror. And we are made in the image of God. And we were never made to live without God inside of us. Pastor declares that we have been regened. You know, the book of Jeremiah declares in 29 verse 11, says, "For I know the plans that I have for you. They are a plan that is a good plan and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope." God has a plan for you and I, and it is a good plan. We are going to experience things in our life that may seem to be a disaster, but I've got good news. God says in his word that when we go through these light temporary moments, that there is a blessing that's going to come. We have a plan that God has called for you and me. It's a future of hope. And I want to remind you today that you carry worth. You carry a value within you. We all have these gifts. We all have talents. We all have something to offer in the kingdom of God. However, because of what we experience, we sometimes never move into the full purpose with confidence of what God has called us to do. Sometimes we feel that the past hurt and the past pains, the past burdens that we carry control our future and hope. We don't realize that we have been regened when we get Christ in our lives. And how many of us can identify areas in your life that you have experienced challenge and damage? It could be that you've experienced rejection. We've all experienced this at some level where someone who we have put our best foot forward and we've been rejected by them, or they didn't accept us for who we are, and we just felt like we've been pushed aside, and we carry that wound of not being accepted, and we feel like we've been rejected. Maybe it's ridicule, that maybe you've been made fun of at some point in your life, and you've rehearsed that ridicule in your mind and in your spirit constantly, allowing that to change the image of how you think about yourself. And or maybe it's that shame from poor decisions that has caused damage in your life. Shame of not doing what you were supposed to do and making a bad decision. That feeling of failure we've all experienced. All of these produce that lack of confidence in our identity and in our purpose. Maybe some of us have been raised in an environment that was damaging, that had nothing to do with it, but now the same cycles of that environment that we were raised in, we now even sometimes repeat the same patterns and cycles, and we don't understand. Well, I didn't like it when I was a kid, but yet I'm producing the same cycle, and we repeat these cyclical patterns in our life because of the damage that we've been introduced to. Maybe we've tried to fill a void in our life by tearing open a larger void. Maybe it's looking for love in all the wrong places. It's the enemy that will try to convince you and I that nobody will accept us or no one will be able to want us to be used because of what we've experienced in our life. But I want to remind you today that we sit at the King's table. I want to remind you today that you are more than a conqueror. It's something that takes place in our mind that when we get in the presence of God, when we get in the presence of the King, something changes in our countenance. We begin to look at a different trajectory of life, and we understand that we are more than a conqueror. Nikaios, we have that Spirit of God within our lives. And today, I want to talk to you about Mephibosheth. I want you today, for these next few moments, I want you to find yourself in this story. I believe it's something that we all can learn from this story. So get your Bible out for the, where we're going to go is 1 Samuel chapter 18, and I'm going to share a little bit about this before we get back in. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 through 4 says, after David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son, and there was an immediate bond of love between them, and they became the best of friends. And from that day, Saul kept David with him in the palace and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a special vow with David, his friend, and he sealed that covenant by giving him a robe, a tunic, a sword, a bow, and a belt. Flip over with me to 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 4. It says, Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth, who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when Saul and Jonathan were killed at the battle of Jezreel. And when this news of the battle reached the capital, the child's nurse grabbed him and fled. But she fell and dropped him as she was running, and he became crippled as a result. Flip one more, couple more chapters over, 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 1. One day, David began wondering if anyone in Saul's family was still alive, for he had promised Jonathan that he would show kindness to them. He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, Ziba replied, and the king asked him, is anyone still alive from the house of Saul? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them in any way I can. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive, but he is crippled. Where is he? The king said. He's in Lodabar, Ziba told him, at the home of the maker's son, Emil. So David sent him and brought him from that home to the palace. His name was Mephibosheth, and he was Jonathan's son, Saul's grandson. And when he came to David, he bowed low before him and said, I am your servant. But David said, don't be afraid. I've asked you to come to be kind because of the vow that I made with your father, Jonathan. I will give you the land that you once belonged to you, to your grandfather, Saul, and you may live here with me at the palace. And Mephibosheth fell before the ground before the king, and he said, why should the king show such kindness to a dead dog like me? Heavenly Father, over the next few moments, I just pray this morning for those who are watching this broadcast. I pray today that you will move in the homes. I pray, Lord, that whatever we go through in life, I pray, Lord, that we can truly surrender it to you. And I pray that this message impacts our life. Lord, I pray that it begins to restore confidence in those who are in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that this allows us to recognize no matter what we've experienced, we have value and worth that can be used in the kingdom of God. In your name I pray. Amen. So it's Saul who's the king of Israel. It's Saul who sits on the throne. And Saul once walked with God. He was the one that was anointed by God to be king. It was Saul who had that relationship with God. Saul started then walking away from that relationship of God. You know, if you were with God and it got to you a good place, why don't we stay with God to keep us in a good place? And it's Saul who has this son named Jonathan. He is the heir to the throne. And Jonathan sees that his father's kingdom is starting to crumble. He sees that things are not going right, and Saul is no longer worshiping God and following God at the level that he was initially walking in. And Jonathan recognizes this, and he becomes friends with David. They all know what's going on, and the things are starting to crumble. And it was David who was walking with God and being in the presence of the king and being in a special relationship with Jonathan. But yet the king, Saul, was now beginning to turn the tide and want to kill David. He wanted to come after David. And Jonathan met with David on a separate moment. And he said, David, don't come to the dinner party that my dad's planning, for my dad is going to kill you. And at that moment, Jonathan and David, their hearts were knitted together, and they made a relationship, a covenant that would last through the time of their life. And Jonathan now has this son by the name of Mephibosheth. He knows that Saul's time is ending, and Saul and Jonathan are in war still with the Philistines. And Saul knew his time was ending, and he asked his armor bearer, please take my life. I'd rather die by my armor bearer. And the armor bearer said, no, I'm not going to kill you because I don't want no one to come after me and my family. So David is running and hiding, and the Philistines are in battle and in war with Saul and Jonathan. And Saul wants to fall on his sword, and he eventually does and dies. And Jonathan is still in the battle with the Philistines, and Jonathan dies, and all this chaos is happening, and it comes back to the palace that the king has died and the heir to the throne has died, and Jonathan's other three brothers had died, and now we have this caretaker, this nurse, this woman who picked up Mephibosheth, this Jonathan's son. He's 5 years old, doesn't even have anything to do with the battle, doesn't even understand what's going on in the moment, but he in the chaos gets picked up, and this nurse begins to run, and as she runs and flees, she falls, and this five-year-old kid gets damaged for life. He gets crippled. How many of us experience damage by our own decisions, but some of us experience the damage by the decisions that are closest to us? In one moment, Mephibosheth's life changed. In one moment, he was playing, enjoying life, loving life, not knowing what was going on, but in one moment, he lost his grandfather. In one moment, he lost his father. In that same moment, he lost his uncles. That same moment, he lost his home. That same moment, he lost trust in those who were to protect him. In that one moment, he lost his ability to walk. In that one moment, Mephibosheth lost his identity. Once an heir to a throne, now on the run. I think all of us can relate to this morning. We've all experienced hurt and pain in the journey that we have been on. Some of these wounds are exposed. Some of the scars you can see. Some of these wounds are not exposed. They're invisible wounds. But I've got good news for us today. We serve a restoring God. Come on, somebody. We serve a God that restores us. The book of Jeremiah declares that the Lord will restore you and heal your wounds. It's Joel 2:25 that says, the Lord will restore you in the time that the locust has eaten. Today, I'm sharing an Old Testament story, but it has a New Testament truth. Mephibosheth represents you and I this morning. We all have a story. It's King David who represents God, the one who restores. And King David is walking around his palace, and he begins to think and meditate, and all of a sudden, he remembers the covenant, the promise that he has made to Jonathan. Is there someone from the house of Saul that I can restore and bless? It doesn't make any sense for David to even want to restore or bless anyone, because Saul's family was out to get him, because they knew that he was going to be the one that takes the throne. But yet in this moment, David said, is there anyone still alive that I can restore? It was King David who then in that moment sent for a servant that was in the house of Saul. The servant's name was Ziba. Ziba shares that Mephibosheth is alive. He's older, but he's alive. He's crippled, but he's in a place called Lodabar. Can I just take a moment to remind you today that just like David started pursuing Mephibosheth, we have a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords that is pursuing you and me. There is one that can restore you that is pursuing you. There is one that is pursuing you. God is pursuing you. The Bible declares in Psalms that your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue you all the days of your life. God is pursuing you. He is looking for you. He is pursuing you down. He's tracking you down. He's looking for you. Are you looking for him? It's when you're feeling faithless that he is faithful. Something interesting about this place called Lodabar, this place called Lodabar where Mephibosheth was, it's a place of no pasture. It's a place that was not having any growth. There was no sustaining growth. It had no pasture. It was not a place where you would go to want to be there for long periods of time. And many of us can relate to this, because when we go through things in life that don't work out, we go to that place of no growth. We go to that place called Lodabar. We hide ourselves out in a place where we think no one can find us. We don't grow in God. We're carrying too much pain, too much hurt from what we went through. But God can find you in Lodabar. Where you're at now does not matter. It does not deter the king from pursuing you. His word declares in the book of Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Can I get a good amen on that? Nothing can separate us from God's love. Our condition, our location doesn't stop the love of Christ coming after you and I. It's God who can see us in our worst state and doesn't change his mind about us. The King of Kings will take us wherever we're at. Can you imagine with me, Mephibosheth, crippled, being summoned by the king pursuing him. Mephibosheth in his home in Lodabar doesn't know, why is the king coming after me? Why is he sending his people to me? Are they coming to finally kill me? They finally found where I'm at. He doesn't know anything about the restoring part of what God was about to do, or the king was about to do for him. He probably went through all of the motions. He probably tried to hide himself within that place, but he couldn't walk. He couldn't move. He had to have someone carry him around. Something that reminded him of how he's always lost his identity. Looking down, seeing, not able to walk, the identity that he keeps rehearsing, that he used to be somebody. He used to be successful. He used to live in the palace. He used to be an heir to the throne. And now he's looking at his crippledness, thinking, what is going to happen? Are these men going to take me before the king, and the king going to kill me? The king summoned him. And we can learn a lot from this. Mephibosheth, in the scripture that I read, humbled himself. He bowed before the king when he got in his presence. It's a sign of surrendering. You know, James 4, verse 10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. How do we go through what we go through and receive restoration as an overcomer? How do we go through what we've been through and receive restoration? Because at one moment, we know that we have Christ in us. But then we begin to have that enemy that tries to change the identity of who Christ has given us in our lives. And we've been redeemed, but yet we go through the rehearsings of things in our mind. And we don't ever get to operate in the full capacity of the potential of what God has for us in the kingdom of God. We are an overcomer. How do we receive restoration to be an overcomer? We always say, you don't know what I've been through. God does. Mephibosheth had some responsibility. He had responsibility to gain restoration in his crippled areas. Yes, God's word said it. God's going to do something great. The king was going to do something great. But Mephibosheth, just like you and I, have accountability things that we must do. We have a part. We have that responsibility. Number one. When you get in the presence of the king, spend time talking to the king. You want to know how we can learn from this story? You want to be restored and you go through the pains of life? Number one, do what Mephibosheth did. Get in the king's presence and begin to communicate with the king. Talk with the King of Kings. Kind of looks like prayer. Honest communication. Talk about your feelings to God. We matter to God. You matter to God today. When you're in your quiet time, begin to share your heart with him. Tell him, Lord, I'm humbly coming before you. I don't have it all together. I've experienced pain in my life. Give it to God. Give him that transfer, that exchange. Mephibosheth couldn't fix himself, but an exchange had to take place. It's when prayer happens. It's when that honest communication happens. When we get into the presence of the king, there is an exchange of the burden. It's how we cast our burdens upon him. The Bible declares in Psalms 34, 18, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. I want to encourage you today to spend time talking to the king. I want you to get in prayer. I want you to worship the Lord. Get in the presence of the king. And it was not a complaint session. Mephibosheth didn't get in the presence of the king and complain. He said, I am your servant. It's how we cast our cares upon him. It's honest communication. Restoration happens by communicating to the king. Number two, restoration happens by believing in the king's word. Can I remind us today that we have the word of God that says it will not return void? This word is an anchor to our life. It's an anchor in our life. We are to speak the word, hear the word, believe the word, become the word. I'll say it again. We're to speak the word, hear the word, believe the word, become the word. The more you speak it, the more you hear it. The more you hear it, the more you believe it. The more you believe it, the more you become it. It's the word of God that's to be an anchor in our lives. Believing in the promises of the king. Come on. Believing in the king's promises. Mephibosheth had that moment that we've all had. Believing when something's good is about to happen. But then you have that moment of, I'm just like a dog. The scripture said, I'm as a dead dog, Mephibosheth declared. Believing in the promises of God anchors you during any storm. And David said, I am about to bless you and restore you. And Mephibosheth's response was that of, why would you show kindness to a dead dog like me? Can I tell you that he was still dealing with regret, condemnation, shame? He was in the king's presence. He was bowed before the king. The king wanted to bless him. He was communicating with the king, but you've got to believe in the promise of the king. You can't just pray and not have believe in the promise. You have to change that mindset if you want restoration of who you are in Christ. If he is dealing with that shame and regret, he has to believe and make that mind change, that renewing of the mind, and he has to believe in the promises of God. The king gave him promise after promise. Hear me. We read the scripture. He says, I'm going to give you back everything that your grandfather had. I'm going to give you back everything that your servants need. I'm going to have you live in my palace, eat at my table. I want you, Mephibosheth, to pull up a chair to the table. And God is telling us all of these promises, but let me ask you this. What are you believing that God has said, and what are you not believing what God has said? We have to believe in the promises of God, the promises of his word. It's an anchor in your life. Luke 1:37 says, for the word of God never fails. 2 Corinthians puts it this way, that all of God's promises are fulfilled by Christ, which are a resounding yes and amen. 2 Peter says, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Number one, communicate with the king when you're in his presence. Number two, believe in the promises. Believe that God said, you can have life as a conqueror. Believe that you are more than a conqueror. Believe that he is the one that restores you. Number three, you want restoration in your life. Get Lodabar out of your life. Get Lodabar out of your life. Get that place that you go to hide when things go wrong out of your life. You didn't hear me this morning. Get those things out of your life where you go to hide. Get those secret places that you hide. Get those areas. Quit running from God. Run to the palace. Run to the presence. The ungodly things that you hide in your life when things go wrong, get them out. Don't hide in the area where nothing can grow. That's that Lodabar place. Don't hide in a place where nothing can sustain you. It's a place of a desert place where nothing can grow. And now Mephibosheth is in the palace. But here's the thing. He was in Jerusalem. He wasn't in Lodabar. The question is was Lodabar out of him? Is Lodabar out of you? Don't hide where nothing can grow. You have to replace with that Lodabar mentality with the kingdom mentality. Pastor Greg calls it, you are regened. You have to run to the palace. Get in the presence of God. You have a seat at the king's table. The place where you spend your time has the ability to change your trajectory, your emotions, your physical body, your spirituality. It has that ability to change who you are. And the more time that you spend in the palace with the king, in the presence of the king, you begin to learn your rightful place as an overcomer. You are an overcomer in the name of Jesus. You know what I love about this story is when Mephibosheth understood what restoration was, he didn't have to worry about how people saw him. He didn't have to worry about his crippledness being seen. Can I remind you that when you pull up a chair to the king's table, your crippledness is hid by the table of God. You have a covering that's over you that anybody invited into that palace could not tell if you could walk or not walk. They couldn't tell if you were crippled or not crippled. They couldn't tell what you went through 10 years ago or if you were growing up in the palace the whole time. He was totally restored. People didn't understand when they sat at the dining table in the kingdom of God that Mephibosheth, they thought he was a joint heir with David. And that's how it is with you and I. We can come to God. We can come with everything that's gone wrong in our lives. We can lay it at his table. We can come and we can communicate through prayer. We can believe in his promises, but we've got to get load up out of us and we got to pull up a chair to the king's table. Get in the presence of God. The book of Psalms 27:4 says, the one thing that I seek the most is to live in the house of God all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's my prayer for you today. That is my prayer for you today, is to be more than a conqueror. We are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. You are made in the image of God. We are a spirit. God is spirit. We're made in his image. We are spirit that has a soul, a mind, a will, and an emotion. And we have this body. Our body is the vessel. Our soul is the packing. And our spirit is the content. There is something on the inside of you and I this morning that is more than a conqueror. We don't like to admit it, but we've all been ripped and torn. We've all gone through seasons in life, and we've all been ripped and torn with what's going on. We've all had experiences where things have been slashed and cut and we don't like the pain that we're going through and we feel undone and we feel opened up and we feel the packing is tight and what is going on in my life, and we're this vessel that feels all of this pain and chaos. We're this vessel that has experienced holes. There's things and decisions that have caused holes in our lives. These things that we have done has caused holes to open up and we look exposed and we don't understand what's going on in our lives, and there are gaping holes where something seems to be missing, but I don't know what it is, and this void, and I've made another wrong decision to have another void opened up in my life. We feel crushed. We feel like the hammer of this world has hit us and we don't understand the pain and we're like, what is going on? I can't make it. I don't see the value. I don't know what's going on in my life. God, are you there? I'm going to hide myself in Lodabar. I'm going to do the things that I shouldn't do that caused this because I'm looking for peace and I don't know what's going on in my life. And we've all experienced these rippings and gashings and hammerings and crushings and holes, and then we get people that are closest to our life. We get people that we try to confide in, and we get burned, and we share the intimate things in our life, and we get burned, and we don't understand what's going on. They were my friends, and they were a part of my life, and I trusted them. The ones that I trusted have now exposed me, and I feel burned, and I look like something that no one would want to purchase. No one would see value in what I've been through, God. The world's perspective is this has no value. It's been through too much. It's kind of like Mephibosheth. It's like you and I. It's been through too much. Send it back. The world's perspective is there is no way that can be used or have any worth. Send it back. But then there's the Creator's perspective. the Creator, our Lord and Savior, the Creator. Look at this vessel. And He doesn't ask for a discount. He looks at this vessel and He doesn't see what the world sees. The world sees no value in the packing and in the covering. You see, the Creator sees the value that's in the covering. The Creator sees the value that's within the content. Value is not in the vessel. Value is not in the packing. Value is in the spirit of what God has put in us. He didn't ask for a discount. He said, I'm going to look at that and I'm going to pay full price and send my son Jesus to pay it. The value is in the content. The value is not what's on the outside. The value is in the content. Pastor's been preaching on Nike. This overcomer. He's been preaching on being an overcomer. He has been preaching about who you are in Christ. He has been preaching that you have been redeemed. He has been declaring that we have Nikeo over us and in us. It's the spirit that lives in you that is greater than the spirit that's in this world. You are an overcomer. You are someone who carries that Nikeo spirit. What's greater is in you than he that is in the world. What is in you is greater than the abuse that you have faced. What's greater that is in you is greater than the abandonment that you have experienced. What is in you is greater than the abortion that you've gone through. What's in you is greater than the divorce that you've experienced. What greater is in you is greater than the failure that you've had to deal with, the loneliness, the loss. What is in you is greater. Let me put it this way. Who is in you is greater than death, greater than the grave, greater than hell, because of who he is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that Nikeos is in our lives. You are more than an overcomer. You are more than an overcomer. And we've been through a lot. And I'm going to close with this in 1 Peter chapter 4. It declares, arm yourself with the mind of Christ. There is a weapon we can put in, and that is the weapon of being an overcomer. But you've got to know it in your mind. You've got to arm yourself with the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. But it starts with communicating with. It starts with believing the promises of the King. And it starts with you getting Lodabar out of your life and pulling up a chair. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for everyone that has heard this word. I pray, Lord, today that you will touch their lives where they are at, in their homes, in their cars, wherever they are at right now. Heavenly Father, I pray that your spirit confronts them, affects them, impacts them. I pray, Lord, that we surrender to you, Lord. Lord, everything that we've gone through, we surrender to you. Today, our prayer is to be an overcomer. But Lord, some of us in the process need restoration because we've been through much and we're here to declare, Lord, like Mephibosheth, we want to be in your presence. We want to communicate to you. We're going to make the decision to believe in your word, and we are going to run to the palace. We're going to run to your presence. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will encourage every one of us today. Lord, let us know today that we are more than an overcomer. We are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And we carry this gene, this regene, because of what Christ has purchased, our salvation. And we know that we are a new creature in you. And Heavenly Father, we just pray this in your name. Hallelujah.
Thank you.